We're going to look at the 19th Psalm this morning. Psalm 19, and we're taking our exposition from the 14th verse. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Here the psalmist concludes the previous 13 verses in which he had declared and delivered his soul of the psalm that was laid upon it, and he concludes with a prayer about the words of his mouth and the meditation of the heart, the meditation of his heart, which showeth you from whence ariseth such spiritual and such divine and such heavenly thoughts as are expressed in the Psalms. Not from the head, not the thoughts of his head, but the meditation of his heart. Out of the fullness of the heart the mouth speaketh. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. What a great way in which to conclude the words that he has spoken and to bring to a close this wonderful psalm of David. The words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart he prays that they might be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, whom he acknowledges to be both his strength, he being found in weakness, and his Redeemer, since he himself knew that he was in penury and debt. But he did not remain in weakness, nor in penury and debt, but his own strength was no succour to his weakness, neither his own wealth a relief to his debts, but the Lord was his strength. And the Lord had discharged his debts and come forth as his own Redeemer, so that with joy he can say, my Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And because of this joy, and because of this gratitude, which is the spring of worship, which rises in the heart, the spring of worship is not the mind. The spring of worship is not in the things learnt from a book, even the book of God. The spring of worship is that God has really come out, and God has really given one strength when one was prostrate with weakness, and God has really come when one was in prison for one's debts, and going to be put into prison till one paid the uttermost farthing for eternity, which one could never do. Then when the Redeemer had come, paid all the debts, paid it in blood, opened the prison doors, taken one out by hand and set one among the princes, how should joy not flood the heart? And then when one looks at the heavens, when one looks at the firmament, when one looks at the sun, when one looks at the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, oh, what joy rises up, what light breaks forth on the eyes, and what an enlargement of heart, and what an openness of mouth there is, that one must conclude, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now then, as you look at these words and read the 19th Psalm, the first thing that will strike you, even if read with the least thoughtfulness, with which you do not read it, but even looking at it in the most simple way, the first thing that strikes you is what an abrupt change there is at verse 7. As you read the first 6 verses, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day utter his speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. No speech nor language where their voice is not heard, their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. It's all about the heavens. Describing the sun, he says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Continuing his description of the sun, his going forth is from the end of heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it, nothing hid from the heat thereof. suddenly the law of the Lord. Yes? Abrupt. How could he have proceeded from all that about the heavens, day, night, the sun, the line, the things in the heavens, where the sun rises and where it sets? Suddenly he says, the law of the Lord. It's as if one were talking to someone about a matter, say, oh, I'm banking. And I'm speaking about banking, 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 and suddenly I say something about, aren't the trees beautiful? And he would turn to me and he'd say, what's that got to do with banking? Now he's been talking about the heavens, the glory of God, the sun, and he talks about the law of the Lord. What's that got to do with it? Why the abrupt change? Six things he mentions then in connection with the law of the Lord at verse 7. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord, verse 9. Each of which do something or are something. For example, they convert the soul, they make the wise make simple, make the simple wise, they rejoice the heart, they enlighten the eyes, and so on. But again, what I ask you is this. Why the abrupt change? Are you following me? It goes down six verses, all about the heavens and the things in heaven. He's looking up to heaven. You agree with that? Yes, yes. He's looking up to heaven. And suddenly, he's looking at the book. Six verses like that, suddenly, three or four verses like this. Then he changes again. He changes again in verse 10. And he speaks more of these that we desire than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me. That's in the first person. He hasn't spoken in the first person. He changes again. So then, you see, from verse 10 down to 13, it alters again. You understand? From 7 to 9, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, then suddenly, oh, how sweet they are to the taste. They're better than gold. Yes, much fine gold. Do you believe that? Do you believe they're better than gold? That's good. That's good. Well, you're right. They are. Yes, better than gold, he says. And then he says, but cleanse thy servant. Keep thy servant from presumptuous sins. Keep thou me from secret faults. A change again, you see, it's about himself. First about the heavens, then about the book, then about himself. What's the connection? Pardon? I didn't hear? What's the connection? Do you know the connection? Light is the connection. Light. Light in the heavens, light in the scriptures, and light in the elect. That's the connection. It's what the light does, and how reliable is the doing of it. Right? What light does. And how reliable it is. You can count on light. Well, you do, don't you? If it was dark when you arose in the morning, what would you do? You'd be confounded and confused, absolutely dumbfounded, if it stayed night. But it doesn't. Day unto day utter its speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. But have you heard it? Firstly, light in the heavens, verses 1 to 6. Secondly, light in the scriptures, verses 7 to 9. Thirdly, light in the elect, 10 to 13. And lastly, he summarizes his meditation of the heart and the words of his mouth with the prayer, may it be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Firstly, light in the heavens. Yes, yes. Firstly, light in the heavens. Let us look in it. Verse 1. the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever heard that? Here are two things he's saying about the heavens and the firmament. The first thing is this, that if you look into the heavens, there's a speech. There's a declaration. They declare something. And what they declare is the glory of God. The glory of God is declared by the heavens. And when he looked up to the heavens, he really saw that there. Or rather, I should say, he really heard that there. The heavens declare the glory of God. The second thing is this. The firmament, that's the expanse or space, showeth his handiworks. When he looked up into the firmament, he saw a hand there. Not a visible hand, any more than the glory which he heard was an audible glory. He didn't hear it with these ears, right? With what ears did he hear it? Hear what? Hear what? Hear the heavens declaring the glory of God. When he turned his heart and the ears of his heart, he that has an ear, let him hear. When he turned his heart toward the heavens, he heard something. And what he heard was the glory of God resounding and sounding and echoing round the heavens. And it resounded and echoed and re-echoed in his heart. And when he looked up and looked into that firmament, he saw the hand of God, not with these eyes, but the eyes of his understanding being enlightened, he was able to see the hand of God in the heavens. It declared God's handwork, not declared in the past tense, it's in the present continuous tense. The heavens are declaring the glory of God, and the firmament is showing his handiwork. One thing he heard, and the other thing he saw. To this corresponds the second verse. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Now, going back to verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. A declaration is something that is stated, and it's a speech or an utterance. What that speech is, and what that utterance is shown in verse 2. Day unto day uttereth speech. And secondly, the firmament showeth his handiwork. That's something to see, therefore, right? The firmament shows. You can see it if you can see. Of course, the natural man can't see. There's a veil on his heart. There's a total disinterest. There's a total uninterestedness. He doesn't want to see, therefore he can't see. He's not interested, therefore it doesn't speak to him, and he can't see it, because he's too stupid and blinded by Satan, and darkness has blinded his eyes, and he cannot see. And he walketh as a blind man, and he walketh in darkness all the time. The heavens above are declaring a tremendous message, and all the time glory is being proclaimed, and it's dull, and it's stupid, and his heavy heart can't hear a word. But it's in the heavens over his head. Yes, but he doesn't lift up his head and he can't hear it. And all the time the firmament have a mighty hand at work in them. The firmament is this mighty hand of God's handy works, the works of his hands. All this time that scene. But he's too stupid, he's too dull, man is too blind to see this. But it's shown, and it shows knowledge. So then that the heavens declare the glory of God is seen in that day unto day gives forth this declaration by uttering speech. and that the firmament showeth his handiwork, is seen in that night unto night showeth knowledge, the knowledge of God's hand. But what I'm saying is this: the natural man and the carnal man or woman is too dull and too stupid and too blinded by Satan and too compassed about with self-interest to see these things. Then how does the psalmist see it? Well, I told you at the beginning, because the Lord gave him strength, and because the Lord paid his debts, and because the Lord was his deliverer, and because joy released in his heart made him a worshipper, and he looked for the things of God, and he listened for the things of God, and he heard a declaration. He heard a declaration in the glory of God in the heavens, because day unto day to him uttered speech. And he saw the hand of God at work. And he saw the hand of God at work in the firmament, because night unto night showeth knowledge. He didn't just take day and night for granted. Oh no, he made a difference. What difference? What difference? You wouldn't write it like this. You would say day unto night, or night unto day, but he doesn't. He says day unto day, but it doesn't happen like that. Night unto night, but night doesn't follow night, there's day in between. Day doesn't follow day, there's night in between. But not to the spiritual man. Not to the psalmist. Not to God. Not to heaven. Not to the firmament. And not to those who hear his voice and who see his hand. What about you? What do you see? Do you look? Do you listen? Have you heard? Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not seen? That the mighty God of Jacob is our Redeemer? Our strength? So what is this speech that is uttered by day unto day, and this knowledge that is shown by night unto night? Verse 2, correct? Day unto day after his speech, which answers to the glory of God, that's what the speech is about. Verse 1, you followed me, haven't you? And night unto night showeth knowledge, which answers to the firmament showeth his handiwork. Well, what do we know about day unto day, for example, and night unto night? Well, the thing we've got to notice is he's separating two realms apart that at present are mixed. Aren't they? We don't think of, well, day, and then in between, night. We say day, night. We mix it by nature. We mix day and night by nature. But God doesn't mix it by grace. And the psalmist doesn't mix it by grace. And heaven doesn't mix it by grace. They keep them apart. Day unto day, and night unto night is what the psalmist says. He separates the light from the darkness, and the darkness he calls the light he calls day, and the darkness he calls light. That's before the sun ever appeared, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God separated the light from the darkness, and the light he called day, and the darkness he called night, and he separated them day unto day unto day unto day, night unto night unto night unto night, separate. And the psalmist got that message. He got into the mind of God and heard the things expressed by the word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he got this, he heard it. And when he looked up there and saw the hand of God at work, he saw it. But have you? Or is it just unintelligible? And are you content to read this and let it remain unintelligible? That's the thing. Or are you going to say, I want to know what this means? You might say, what's the good of my reading something that I don't understand? Ask the Ethiopian eunuch. And as he was going by in his chariot, he was reading in the place, and Philip came and go, do you understand what you're reading? Well, can I? But it didn't stop him doing it. Did it? Oh. Didn't stop him doing it. From this side, did it?
No.
All right. We're looking at this. And what we're seeing is God separates the light from the darkness. And although at present it is literally mixed, not in his mind. Not in his mind it isn't. There's that which is of the day, and that which is of the light, and there are children of the light. And there's that which is of the night, and that which is of the darkness. And there are children of darkness, and to him they are separate. Oh, I know, for the time being in this present evil world, they are mixed. But they're not going to remain mixed. And when you look from the high viewpoint of heaven, and you can see the first day of time, you can just as easily see the last day. And although it's night, day, night, day, night, day, night, day, there shall be no night there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light thereof. And the darkness and the light are going to separate forever that are now intermingled. Now they alternate, but then they are part. These shall go forth into everlasting darkness. These shall come up into everlasting day. And the spiritual answer to that now. The light of the city shines in their hearts now. And even day and night tell them this. Huh? Don't they? Otherwise he wouldn't say day unto day, utter his speech, and night unto night, showeth knowledge. He would say day and night, utter speech, and night and day, show knowledge. But they don't. Mixture doesn't show you anything. You mix with the world, and what can you see that's spiritual? You get all involved with worldly companionship, worldly banter, worldly talk, worldly chit-chat, worldly smart talk, and what do you see? You open your Bible and you've got to force yourself to do it because you've got no relish. The delight's gone out, the candle's gone out. Mixture does that. But keep clear, keep your distance, keep your dignity, preserve the door of your lips, behold your eyes and keep them. And keep in the day, and be as children of the day, and walk as children of the light. And you see so much, and you hear so much. For example, you hear this, the heavens declaring the glory of God as day after day utter speech, and the firmament showing his handiwork as night unto night shows knowledge. And you can see that the children of darkness, well, they're two realms, aren't they? The night and the day. In the day, honest people come out to do their work and labour for their living and work decently. Not like some of the parasites in the name of religion that make a living off other people and are lazy as lazy can be. They belong to the night. But honest men labour in the daytime. They really work for their living and to help others. That belongs to the day. But once the sun goes down, once night comes, then that which is of the darkness comes forth. The killers, the predators, the tiger comes forth, the snake slithers out, the owl comes out, wicked men come out, harlots come out, vice comes out, gambling comes out. Wickedness belongs to the dark, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's realms apart, they don't belong together. And the people and the creatures in them don't belong together. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Keep them apart, the psalmist did, God does. Spiritual lessons, you see, from creation. No mixture. You get so many professing Christians, the vast majority of professing evangelicals, they're so mixed. You can see the world in their dress. You can see the world in their appearances, especially if it's true of women. You can see the signs of worldliness about them. And with men, you can see the signs of the vanity, the signs of that wanting to show off what they are and what they've attained. This belongs to the dark, my brethren. Have nothing to do with it. Plain and simple, straightforward and honest is good enough for us. We want to be in the realm of light, not in the realm of darkness. And we don't want to be in the realm of light, dark, day, night, day, night. We want to be in the realm of day unto day, day unto day, day unto day, and eschew the realm of night unto night, night unto night, night unto night, as the psalmist did. All the heavens show this. And he goes on to say, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Whose voice? The voice of the heavens, the voice of the firmament, the voice of day and the voice of night. It doesn't matter whether it's Russian, whether it's Japanese, whether it's English, whether it's Hottentot, whether it's Arab, whether it's Alaskan, whether it's Eskimo. It doesn't matter. The light's the same, the dark's the same, the day's the same, the night's the same. The firmament's the same, the heaven's the same. Anybody can see it. There's no speech nor language where the voice of day unto day, where the voice of night unto night, where the voice of the glory of God, where the voice of the speech from the heavens and the handiwork of God. And the handiwork of God, you know, is to separate the darkness from the light. That's what God's hand does in the child of light. He puts the darkness away and brings him into the light. If you're really saved, if you're really of God, his hand's going to bring you into the light. He'll say, let there be light. For God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he takes the heart with the blessedness of Christ and the light thereof. And he brings it into the day. And he sets the eye on the everlasting day to come, so that you can really see day after day, day after day. And he separates from the darkness, and we put away the unfruitful works of darkness, and we have no truck with the works of darkness. That doesn't belong to us. It's not our realm. We're in the realm of everlasting day. We look for the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. You say, how can it be one long day? Well, because the sun's in the heavens, still ascended, and he hasn't come down.
Amen.
And that light remains steadfast and fixed ever since he ascended up to the glory of the Father. Oh, the heavens show the glory of God. Ever since the hand of God took him up there in the ascension, the firmament showeth his handiwork. And we're under that light day unto day, declared it. And we're not as though we were, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line, verse 4, is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now, that's what the apostle uses as a verse to quote the going forth of the gospel. Their line is gone forth out of all the world, but to stay with our verse and not the apostle's quotation from it, of it, and exposition of it, right? What line? Whose line? Right? Are you following? You must follow, mustn't you? Otherwise, I should be like a man talking in an unknown tongue, God forbid. Isn't it? But I hope I'm speaking five words with the understanding better than 10,000 in a gabbling, unknown, raving tongue, yes? Because that won't profit you, will it? But if I speak five words with the understanding, it will profit you, I hope. Will it not? Amen. Yes?
Amen.
Their line is gone out to all the earth. Whose line? The line of day unto day, and the line of night unto night. You see, the natural man, the blinded man, those who walk in darkness, those who are in their sins and have no light, they don't see this, they accept the mixture as the normality. And they say, day, night, day, night, day, night. But the spiritual man, he doesn't. He says, day unto day, and night unto night. Day and night alternate. Day and night alternate. One in this world. But this is called the present evil world. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Says the Apostle Paul, God has delivered us from this present evil world. There are four words in the Greek for world. The word used there in Galatians 1, God has delivered us from this present evil world, is aeon, age. So he calls the age, what we call time, evil. Why is it evil? Well, because it's so mixed. The children of God are mixed with the children of the devil. The children of light are mixed with the children of darkness, but not when they walk separate, and not when the hand of God has separated them to the light and separated them from the darkness. Then they're not mixed. And if we walk in a mixed scene, we don't walk in mixture. We walk clean, and we're separated to the light. We're not separated by judging other people. We're separated by the light, and Christ is the light. And we're separated from the darkness, and all that is in the world is darkness. And we've got this glorious gospel. We've got this radiant light of Christ. And although all about us is day, night, mixture, alternating, to the spiritual man, they don't alternate. They run in parallel. They're like two railway tracks. One railway track, when the train goes over the track, it makes a sort of a noise, doesn't it? Right? Clack, 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 clackety clack. Yeah? Right? Well, it makes this noise one line, day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day. And the parallel line, which never joins it, otherwise the train would be derailed, makes the noise night after night. Night unto night, night unto night, night unto night, day unto day after his speech, night unto night showeth knowledge, because they're separate in the mind of God, and let's talk to the child of God. They're not alternating. They're separate. And these two twin tracks, when one is born again and brought into the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, they run together till eternity. And then day after day goes to glory. And night after night goes to hell, into everlasting darkness, from which there is no deliverance, world without end. Is there a child of darkness here? Don't you know what track you're on? You children of light that dally with the world, and trifle with worldly manners, worldly dress, worldly religion, worldly honours. Don't you know what track you're on? Don't you know what city is bound for? Don't you know that I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven, and her light was like a light of pure crystal? Yea, the Lord. Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light thereof. And there's no night there, but there's everlasting night in the pit. The light never reaches back in the pit. Sometimes they see a tiny glimmer. They see a tiny point of light where everlasting light dwells, and they're sunk in everlasting darkness, and they cry out, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I'm burning in this place of tormenting. And they cry from the light, Son, thou in thy lifetime, in the night, had thy good things, and Lazarus his evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Day after day, day after day, day after day. Were you warned? The heavens declare the glory of God in your lifetime. The firmament shows his handiwork in your lifetime. But you chose to ignore the speech. You chose to ignore the sight. What are you grumbling at? You chose to ignore it because you went after good things. And you got good things. We didn't. And now we're comforted. And you're tormented. But we endure evil things just for the period that you call day, night, day, night, day, night. And now we're comforted forever. But we were tormented for a short time. Now you're tormented forever. What track are you on? Huh? Light. Haven't got to the sun yet. We're not talking about created light. The sun comes in the next verse. In them, he has set a tabernacle for the sun. In what? In day after day. You say, well, you can't have light without sun. Oh, yes, you can. On the first day, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God separated the light from the darkness. On the fourth day, despite all the evolutionary trash that the world follows after, God created the sun. But there'd be 4 days of light and dark. Day after day, day after day, night after night, night after night, had taken place. Then he created the sun. In them he had set a tabernacle for the sun. Oh, you say, this is deep. No, it isn't. It's so very obvious you've never looked at it. That's the trouble. You're shallow, aren't you? Admit it. Well, what are you shallow for? Don't call it deep. It's just what you look at. You see what you look at. You understand what you give attention to. Give attention to your soul. Give attention to eternity. Give attention to where light is going. Give attention to where darkness is going. Heed the voice from the heavens. See the sight in the firmament. This is the sun we're talking about now. In them he has set a great tent, a tabernacle for the sun. Yes? And then he describes the sun, which is firstly as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, verse 5. Secondly, the sun is as a strong man that rejoices to run a race. This speaks of Christ, the Son of Righteousness, which shall arise with healing in his beams. When shall the Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4, arise with healing in his beams? When he has paid the price for sin. When he has made reconciliation for iniquity. When he has finished the transgression. When he has brought in everlasting righteousness. When his blood gushed forth as price for the sins of all believers. When he really redeemed with the price of his precious blood every debt-ridden sinner. And the great gates of Hades were brought wide open. And the righteous streamed out in glory because the debt was paid in blood. Then the Son of Righteousness. justice arose with healing in his beams, and his beams shines down from the glory. For the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until thine enemies be made thy footstool. Down below, from where he's sitting, it's day, night, day, night, day, night. But up above where he's sitting, it's day unto day, day unto day, day unto day. And looking down there, it's night unto night, night unto night, night unto night. Look up to the sun. Look up to the sun. The sun's in the heavens. You say, where is he? Where is he? He's not here. He is risen. Behold the place where the Lord lay. He's raised to the right hand of God. He's raised to the right hand of the Father in the heavens. It's a heavenly gospel we preach unto you. A gospel of Christ in the glory. He's sitting there right now at this very split second. All the time I've been speaking, he's sitting there with glorious beams radiating, which have been shining into the heart of all the children of light in this room all the time I've been speaking. And we know, because we trace the beams to the source, we know from whence they came. They come from the Son of Righteousness. They come from the Son of Righteousness. You know what he's like? He's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And a night comes to the end. Suddenly, the whole of the eastern sky flares red, and it streaks across with gold. Then a beautiful blue comes up against the darkness, and suddenly, like a great red ball, the sun rises above. Oh, what strength! Oh, what glory rises with the sun in the east! What darkness did he come out of? This bridegroom, this sun that's like a bridegroom, what darkness did he come out of? The same darkness as Adam. And God caused a deep sleep. That's for the night, sleep. And the night is for sleep. A deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And God took out of Adam's side and helped meet for him. Now, says Paul, this is a great mystery. And a deep sleep came upon Adam. And while he was in that sleep, God took out of his side Eve, and from his rib fashioned a woman. Now when Christ went into the deep sleep of Calvary, and when he sunk down into the darkness of the wrath of God, and when the light no longer gave her light, and the sun was turned into darkness when Christ hung those hours on the cross, for the sun was turned into darkness. In that darkness and out of it there came a cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was dying for sinners, because he was dying for his bride. Because God was taking out of his side, from whence the blood flowed and the water flowed. God was taking out of his side a bride, and help meet for him, for everlasting day, for everlasting glory. And when he rose from the dead, he'd done the work. When he rose from the dead, he'd purchased her already. When he rose from the dead, she rose with him. When he ascended on high, she rose, which is as a bridegroom coming forth. And the second description is this: and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Oh, yes, he rejoiceth. Christ rejoiceth, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. What a race! Run with patience the race that is set before you. He sat down waiting as a strong man, full of strength and vigor. He shall drink of the brook by the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. He is full of strength and vigor for this race of earthly time, day after day, day after day. Oh, blessed Saviour, there are but few days left. He's not got many more day unto days to wait before he gets up and comes back for his own and sends the night where it belongs and brings the day with himself forever.
Amen.
Not long. Ye children of the day, day unto day, day unto day.
With that, I conclude the first section. Six things now happen in respect of the Word of God, and they all bring light, and they're all certain. You'll never find the sun won't rise in the morning. You'll never find it won't go on its circuit. You'll never find day unto day fail, nor night unto night. You'll never find them not showing knowledge and declaring wisdom. You'll never find it. God is so sure. His attributes so certain. His faithfulness so reliable. The ordinances of heaven cannot possibly fail, nor can the book.
Amen.
The law of the Lord. You say, what's the law of the Lord? I didn't think we were converted by the law of the Lord, didn't you? It's a way of describing the laws that belong to the gospel, as opposed to the law of Moses, which never converted but only condemned. You may say, well, where does it say anything about the gospel being called a law of anything? In at least four places. For example, Romans 3, where he says, by what law? What? What law? By what law? Where is boasting? Where is boasting? Why, boasting is with the legalists, isn't it? We've done this. We pray all night. We thank God that we're not as other men, or even as this papist. We thank God this, we thank God that. Where is boasting? In the camp of the legalists. But not with any cause. For they're the biggest hypocrites under the sun. Or in the dark. Where is boasting? It's
certain, but it's like a law. Laws are things where cause is inevitably and absolutely inevitably followed by effect. Well, a believer's faith is always followed by everlasting glory. And he can't fail. Oh, you say, but mine failed. Oh, dear. Well, listen, so did Peter's. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And it never failed. You may be of little faith, but stop moaning, because even little faith cannot fail. It's the law of faith that converts the soul. So be converted from gloom to joy, from misery to rejoicing, from muttering to thanksgiving. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, you want another one? Alright, let's go to Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In the dark I was bound by sin and condemned to death. But when the Prince of Life came, and when the Lord of Life came, and when the light of the world came and shone in my heart, I was brought out of the darkness and free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That converts the soul. The Spirit of God in the heart bringing everlasting life welling up like a fountain. That converts the soul. What life this is! For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's a law. If you're a believer, you must have life. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. Can't fail. Here's another one. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? It's love. Not gushing sentiment. Not sloppy expressions. Not being terribly nice, terribly polite, having an empty, vacuous smile like something cut into a melon on your face. It's giving yourself for your brethren. It's taking his burden and putting it on your shoulders and carrying it. That's the law of Christ. And that's love. Herein is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and became the propitiation for our sins. That's love. And here's one more. The perfect law of liberty. For the child of God is made free free to praise, free to rejoice. The hypocrite finds this irksome. The hypocrite finds every gospel duty a heavy burden. He finds every gospel rule a great weight upon him. He finds his commandments of the Lord great chains. But the child of God waves his free arms in the air. It's the glorious liberty of the children of God to serve him. They love it, and they hate anything else.
That the law of the Lord is perfect.
That's what the light does. It isn't just reading about it in the scriptures. But when light comes, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall one preach except he be sent? Well, you better ask all the multitudes of denominational preachers, because that's exactly what they do. They preach without being sent. But how shall one preach except one? Well, there aren't many, are there? How shall one preach except he be sent? I don't know, Paul. You tell me. And he said to me, you know perfectly well he can't. Yes, sir, that's true. He can't. You can't preach except you be sent. You've got to stuff a filing cabinet in your Bible and turn your pretty little notes every 5 minutes. You can't preach. There's no springing fountain. There's no gushing well. There's no law of liberty. There's no law of faith. And there's no law of love. And it doesn't set free. Oh, but the law of the Lord does. Listen, I'm not going to have time to go all these, am I? Here is the work in the Word of God. That's all. Over and over again, statutes. You know what statutes are? Statutes show a limitation. They're ordinances. You don't go beyond them. They mark boundaries out. That's as far as you go. You got any statutes? Have the Lord's statutes. Look what they do. What do? They rejoice the heart. They rejoice my heart. And I know they rejoice your heart. The statutes of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that he came behind in no gift, in all utterance and in all wisdom. They didn't copy the book, they didn't even study the book. Christ came down spiritually and filled the church, and gifts were given, and they came behind in no gift, humble, heartbroken, melted. They were given gifts by this blessed Spirit in all utterance and in all wisdom. The testimony of Christ. And as to the ministry, those are charismata. As to the ministry, the gifts are called domata, which the fanatics avoid mentioning. Indeed, they don't know it. They only know one Greek word. They might as well have one Bible with one word in it, or just print that word charismatic, charismatic, charismatic from Genesis to Revelation. Because that's all they know. But we don't. But we don't exclude a word that's there. We can face issues, which is more than they can. And we know that the ministry is a different class of gifts coming from a different source and being of a different order, and they're called domata. And they're statutes. These are statutes. And as to the statutes, as to the testimony, these things, the ministry is a statute. As to the testimony of Christ in the church, separate from the testimony of Christ in the ministry, of which it is said, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. That's spoken for the end of the age. We need it. We need to feel Noah being moved of God, warned of God, of things not seen as yet. We need men seen into the future, seen the wrath to come, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, who've seen the glorious city, so we feel they've seen it, and we get a glimpse of it, and their life quickens our life, so we feed the people. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Hear the testimony. Oh, wonderful. Oh, wonderful. More to be desired than gold. Oh, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Well, they are. Glory, glory, they are. They just give joy unspeakable and full of glory, this light that shines from the Word. It shines down, it shines through, and it shines in. Which brings me just in a glance to show the light of the elect. The light that's in the elect. Verses, I'm just touching on it as I finish. Moreover, mine emissary servant warned. Hear the mark of a child of God. No hypocrite's ever warned. He's full of presumption. But every child of God's got the deep warning of the fear of God in his heart, and he's not presumptuous. Mine emissary servant warned. It's light, you see. It's the light that shines in the elect. Who can understand his errors? Absolutely no one, because he's dark. But when the light shines, you can see what you can't understand, because with the light on, you can make out all the shapes. And then you can avoid the things you'd fall over in the dark. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. In thy light we shall see light. Light is sown for the upright. Light is sown for the righteous. So it is. Sown for them. Sown for them. Oh, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. How we say it? That's pride. Keep back thy servant from the proud things. Keep back thy servant from the proud things. The word sins in italics in there. And moreover, don't let them have dominion over me. No, no, keep my heart broken. Let the light stream in that shows thy glory, that shows thy sovereignty, that shows thy majesty, that shows the seraphim themselves shielding their eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And as for me, now I have seen thee, I heard of thee with the hearing, but now mine eyes see thee, and I abhor myself in dust and ashes. This keeps you from pride. This is the light you want. This is the light you want. And then they won't have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and innocent of the great transgression. Oh, I've seen the light in the glory. I've seen the light in the word. And I've seen the light in my heart. Oh, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.